Well, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our morning service on this Sunday, the 29th of September. And whether you're here in our building or joining us online, you are very welcome. We trust that you'll know God's blessing as we worship him together. Very special word of welcome back to our senior minister, the Reverend Brian Gibson, and his wife Jean. I'm going to give them a traditional Railway Street welcome back. For those who are new here, Brian was our minister from 1994 to 2013, and despite that, he looks remarkably well. So, but it's great to have you back with us, and we trust that you will enjoy renewing friendship and fellowship here. As you will see, this is our communion service this morning. So this is not a Presbyterian table, this is the Lord's table. And all who know the Lord Jesus as Saviour are welcome to share in the sacrament when we come to that point in the service. Now, if you're a communicant member of Railway Street, please complete a communion token and place that into the plate whenever the offering is lifted later on in the service. The communion token is purely administrative. It doesn't hold any theological significance. It just helps the session clerk to keep an accurate record of who's been here. And as you know, the session clerk here can be right awkward so-and-so. For those of you who are new, I am the session clerk. So your help with keeping me in order, as often, is very much appreciated. And then everyone is welcome to come through to the link after the service for refreshments. And our young folk are in charge of serving those today, so come through and encourage them. If you are sitting in the gallery and want to join in communion, just please come down whenever we're singing the hymn before communion and find yourself a seat. There are still some down here. Our evening service at 6:30 will be conducted by Councillor Alan Martin, who's taking some time off filling potholes to come and to preach at our evening service. It will be an interesting experience. Many of you know Alan. I gather he may or may not have been the reason that Mike Nisbet didn't turn up at the Unionist Party conference yesterday in person. I'll say that again tonight. Just when he's here, it'll get better effect. But we're delighted to welcome Alan as a former member of this congregation. He's an accredited preacher and an elder in Mays, and everyone is welcome to come. Now, from time to time, as session clerk, I get to make good news announcements. Too many of the times I come up here is with not such good news announcements. But today, I am absolutely delighted to be able to say that we have got extra security on this side of the church this morning. I'm delighted to tell you of the engagement of Dr. Anna Curra and Mr. Ryan Adair. Now, if you don't know who Ryan is, he's now the very embarrassed man sitting about four rows back. So, Ryan and Anna, we are absolutely delighted with your good news, and we pray God's blessing on you for the future. If you want to see the ring, just form an orderly queue before you... Now, copies of the October edition of the Presbyterian Herald are available in the vestibule. Please take yours. If there's some that you could take and deliver for someone who isn't here, then please do that. Our timing hasn't been quite as good as it was with the United Appeal. Leslie Addis, who was here last Sunday on the first night of the month, is features on the front cover. So if you ask Margaret nicely, she'll maybe arrange for him to come and sign them at some stage. But there's a lot of interesting articles in the Herald this month, so do have a read. And if you don't take a paper copy, do have a look online. Copies of our denomination's weekly prayer letter, Let's Pray, are also available every week. We provide some hard copies of these in the vestibule. If you would like these emailed to you, you can sign up on the PCI website. I will warn you, you have to pass a check confirming that you're human. I haven't always been successful in that. But if you have any difficulties signing up for that, if you'd like to, then please ask, and we'll see what we could do to help. I was speaking to the chap who runs the website during the week. You think I have challenges here? Nothing compared to what he's got. We have a special morning tomorrow in the link at 10:30 with Diane Cusick, one of our missionaries in Zambia. And it's been organised by the PW, but come along at 10:30 for tea, coffee, scones, and have a chat with Diane about the work that she is doing. It's open to all members of the congregation, and we trust that as many as are able to come will be able to come along and encourage Diane as she shares with us. The Boys' Brigade District Parade is in Dunmurry this afternoon, so hopefully all in the Boys' Brigade have received their instructions about that and know where to meet and when to meet. BB itself meets at normal times on Monday and Tuesday evening, and all boys are welcome. GB meets at its normal times on Thursday evening. Again, all girls are welcome. If you need more details of that, please just ask. Link Up is on this week between 10 o'clock and 12 noon, and everyone again is welcome to that if you want to come. Our discipleship groups have begun for another session. If you would like to join and haven't as yet, please speak to one of the leaders. You saw who they were a few Sundays ago. That's Janet, Jean, Dermot, Alan or Hannah. And if you can't find any of them, speak to me and we can make those arrangements for you. Michael returns from sabbatical on Tuesday morning. So please contact me if you need the services of a minister before that, and I'll make the appropriate arrangements and let Michael ease gently in after his 6 weeks away. And then our services next Sunday, morning service at 10:30, will be conducted by our minister, the Reverend Michael Davidson, and then the evening service at 6:30 will be conducted by Mr. Jordan Neal of the Belfast City Mission. These are all the announcements. I'm delighted to invite Brian to come and to lead our worship.
Well, my thanks to Stephen for his welcome, and it's good to know that he hasn't lost his sense of humour. When Michael invited me to do the communion service, I don't think he realised the significance of this particular Sunday. I wonder, do any of you recognise the significance of this particular day? It was on this day 11 years ago that I preached my last sermon on this Sunday at the communion service. So it's a real pleasure for me to be back here on the anniversary of my retirement. I don't think anybody knew that, but I certainly twigged that pretty quickly. So it's quite significant for me. Last year in November, Jean and I travelled out to Kenya to join in the celebration of the 40th anniversary of the programme we started when we first went out. So it's a season of anniversaries and celebrations, and that is most encouraging. But it's lovely to be back here in Railway Street with my family and to join with you in the service, and particularly as it is a communion service this morning. As a call to worship, I'm going to read some verses from Psalm 145, and then we'll pray. The words of Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name. We join together for prayer. Our Father, we pause and we come before you to acknowledge your lordship. The psalmist tells us that we should exalt you, our God, the King. We should praise your name forever and ever. Our Father, we want to remember that you are the source of all life. You're the one who has created everything in our universe. And you're the one who created us in your own image. And you breathed into us the breath of life. Our Father, we're totally dependent upon you. And so we come this morning to acknowledge your lordship. But we also come to turn away from the noise and rush of daily life and give you thanks. The psalmist says to us, the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. And so, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for family. We thank you for friends. We thank you for a church family and all who love us and journey with us throughout our lives. We thank you that you're compassionate and caring and you provide for us. Our Father, we come also to reflect on our lives. The psalmist tells us the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So, Father, help us to come honestly to you this morning, not pretending. Help us to bring to you our faults and failings, our sin and failure, and help us to find forgiveness and healing and refreshment. And so we come to find renewal and refreshment. Again, the psalmist reminds us that you're one who upholds all who fall, and you lift up all who are bowed down. So, Father, as we worship, may we feel your healing spirit speaking into our lives, bringing healing at whatever level we need that healing, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Our Father, we worship you, our God and our Father. Amen. Now, at this point, I'm to ask the children to come forward. And I better remove. Is this right? Yeah. Yep. You looked at me doubtful, Janet. Any more? Is that us? That us today? So it's nice to have you with us. Have you had a good week at school? You have? What did you do? What was good? It was just all good, wasn't it? Really good. The boys are not so forthcoming, though. Well, tell me, have you ever got an invitation to something special? Did anybody ever send you an invitation? Maybe to a birthday party? Yes? Who sent you the invitation? Who?
Judah.
Judah? Is that a friend of yours? Yes, it's always nice to get an invitation to a party. Some years ago now, an invitation came into our house, and it had it on the envelope from the office of the Prime Minister. I thought, wow, I've made it at last. But it was addressed to Jean. And when she opened it, she was told that the Prime Minister was recommending her to get a special award from the Queen at Buckingham Palace. And I thought to myself, I just laughed. I said, there's somebody having you on. This couldn't be true. That's how much confidence I had in Jean, isn't it? But it was true. And then eventually, whenever Jean accepted the invitation, we went to Buckingham Palace with her dad, the rest of the family. Now, the only downside of it was that Jean was hoping that the Queen would present her with her MBE, but it was Prince Charles, King Charles. But you know, the significant thing was that that invitation came to her and she had to accept it. She could have said no, but she had to accept it. Now, this morning we're having communion, and really what this here is an invitation. Have you ever been to a shop where they sell cakes or sweets and they give you a sample? Have you? They hand you a dish and you can try something, and they're trying to get you to buy it, aren't they? Well, that's a taster
And this is a taster and an invitation to a big party which is coming, which God is organizing for all who follow him and all who are his disciples. And he's inviting you. That's what this table means. It's an invitation to follow Jesus and to be part of his family. And I hope as you grow up, you will eventually come to partake in this table. And when you do so, you'll be saying, yes, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I hope you will do that. And we will be praying that you will do that. Okay? So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the week we've had at school. We thank you for being with us and helping us to learn and enjoy friendship. We thank you for our teachers and for their care and love and their ability to teach us. And we pray now that as we go out to Kids Church, that you might help us to learn and to understand that you want us to be part of that big party that will one day take place. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the sun rose on the morning after the Sabbath, she made her way to the tomb. She had witnessed Christ's resurrection, or his crucifixion, and as she watched him being crucified, her life imploded. The first time she met Jesus before this, she was a very sick woman, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We're told that Jesus banished 7 devils from her, and Jesus healed her. She was a wealthy woman, and so she devoted the next years of her life to supporting Jesus and his team of disciples. She traveled with him and with them. She witnessed his miracles. She listened to his teaching, and she was constantly inspired. But with the crucifixion, her world crashed. And as she made her way to the tomb on that early morning after the Sabbath, she pondered all that had happened. She felt lost. She felt crushed. She was distraught. She knew that Jesus was innocent. And so she pondered the cruelty of crucifying an innocent man. Why did they inflict such a cruel death on one she loved and one she followed? And so as she came to the tomb, she was weeping. But the first thing she noticed was that the stone had been moved from the front of the tomb. And that puzzled her and startled her a bit. And so she made her way to the entrance of the tomb, and she looked in, and she saw 2 people. She assumed they were angels, and they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she said, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have put his body." And then she heard a movement behind her, and she turned round, and there was a man standing. And she assumed that he was the gardener. And he said to her, "Woman," like the angels, "woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "I don't know where they have put the body of my Lord. Can you tell me and show me where it is?" He looked at her and he said, "Mary." And when he said, "Mary," she knew exactly who it was. Now let's listen to the story as we have it in John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. John 20, verses 1 to 18, and Jean is going to read that story to us.
John 20, Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strip of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their houses, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said, that he had said these things to her. Amen.
Easter, as you will know, is a very important time of the year in the church calendar. It begins for some with Lent, some days before Easter week, when people will decide to give up eating something or doing something and spending a little bit more time reflecting on Christ's death and resurrection. It's an important time. And then when we come to Holy Week, we often have special services in our churches, as we did during my time here. And we focus very much on Christ's death. But I sometimes reflect and think, do we also reflect in the same way and give the same importance to the resurrection? Now, I have to confess that when I was here as your minister, I used to enjoy Holy Week with all the services, the events in Lisburn. And then when it came to Sunday morning, Resurrection morning, quite a number of you were in Port Rush, Port Stewart, all over the place. And it seemed to me that we had forgotten about, I'm sure you hadn't, but it seemed to me, in a sense, disappointing. The climax of the whole Easter event is Easter Sunday morning, isn't it? When we recognize and celebrate that the one who died has been raised from death. You see, resurrection changes everything. If Christ had died and had not been raised, well, his death would have been one among many. But because he was raised from the dead, his death is deeply significant. Resurrection changes everything. That's why we meet on the first Sunday of the week, to celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive. See, resurrection is not just a historical event. It's not just a future event either. It is and should be a present reality. We live in a very troubled world. I don't think I need to tell you that. When my mother was, during her last years, she watched every news broadcast that was possible. And I used to say to her and tease her and say, "Well, Mum, has anything changed since 6 o'clock? Now it's 10 o'clock. We listen to news, don't we? You know, I just suddenly realized that I was drifting into the same habit in retirement, listening far too often to the news. It's so depressing. What does it do to our mind? What does it do to our spirit? What does it do to our confidence in God? How can we hold on to a belief in God in a world that seems so disordered and dysfunctional, so violent and cruel? Is God just sitting on the sidelines and watching? It's difficult, isn't it? But do we despair? Do we despair? No. Listen to the words of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke, and darkness gave way to light. A resurrection. The world was resurrected. The universe was resurrected. Our world was created. A resurrection. Then when we come to the last book of the Bible and almost the last chapter, chapter 21, we read, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." We live in a very dysfunctional, threatening world. But do we despair as believers? No. Psalm 46 is our belief. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Resurrection. Resurrection speaks not just of a historical event, but it speaks of a new day, which is coming, when all will be changed and transformed. Next month, I celebrate my 75th birthday. That's just to give you time to get the right card and search out the right present. But you know, as I get older, I sometimes sit and think, what is life all about? It goes so quickly. What is it really? What's the significance of our years here on earth? I grew up in a family of three, another brother and my sister Ruth. And Ruth was the very bright one, the gifted one of the three of us. She eventually did a PhD in medicine. She ended up working as a GP in Whistler, which most of you will know is north of Vancouver. It's a ski center, I guess, that some of you probably have been there. And there she was a volunteer doctor on the ski slopes. And from time to time, she would fly out in a little helicopter that was based in Whistler, and she would bring back somebody who had had a really bad crash on the ski slopes. But in her early 60s, suddenly things began to change. She developed frontotemporal dementia. She couldn't go to a shop and do her shopping. She couldn't set the table. We spent some months going out to help look after her. She wouldn't go into the shower because she was terrified of water. If we went out in the car to take her out to a coffee shop, we had to make sure it wasn't raining because she wouldn't get out of the car if it was raining. Doesn't disease and doesn't death sometimes seem to mock life itself? Death does seem to make a mockery of life. But do we despair again? And the answer again is no, because we believe in resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul wrote these words, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Resurrection changes everything. It changes our attitude to the news. It sets our lives, our birth, our life, our death in a context and gives meaning. When Mary left the tomb and went to the disciples, she said, "I have seen the Lord." The question that we ask ourselves this morning is, have we met the risen Christ? Because Christ changes everything. Our values, our hopes, our perspective on today and tomorrow. You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? You must be born again. There must be a new beginning. There must be a resurrection, a spiritual resurrection in your life. And that is made possible because Jesus died and he rose again on the third day. Some years ago, here in this congregation, a very good friend of mine, who's no longer with us, a man I greatly admired and respected, took me to task after one of our communion services. And the reason he did so was because I had suggested and I had described what used to be the typical Presbyterian communion service, where the elders were dressed in black suits and black ties, and it was more like a mourning. And I made this comment, and this particular gentleman didn't agree with me. He wasn't obnoxious or anything, but he did take me to task about it. But the point is that this is a celebration. We're not mourning somebody who's dead and whose bones lie in a grave. Jesus is alive, and that is what we celebrate this morning. And I trust that as we come to worship, and as we come to share, in this communion table, that you will feel the quickening power of his Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And so we come to what we call the Lord's table. As Stephen has said, it's not a Presbyterian table, it's the Lord's table. And he welcomes us.
And as I shared with the children, this is a taster of a celebration to come. And so he calls all of us, wherever you are spiritually, wherever you are in any way, come to this table, acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and welcoming his Spirit afresh into your life. Now let's pray together. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our Father, we come to this table this morning not because we are worthy, not because we are perfect. We come acknowledging our failure, our sin, and we come asking for your forgiveness, your pardon, and your healing. Our Father, so often we are like Paul. We know the good that we should do, but there's something within us that prevents us doing the good we should do, and we end up doing the thing we shouldn't do. And like Paul, we rejoice that there is one who will deliver us, and that is the risen, alive, and present Jesus Christ. Our Father, we're part of a family here. And we do this together, not just as individuals, but corporately. And where there is any sense of tension among us, where someone has hurt us or harmed us, where there is any sense of division, we pray for healing. And we pray that you might help us just to experience that oneness that we have and are in Christ. As we share in these elements, may we feel your love. May we hear your risen voice calling our name and speaking peace and healing into our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And so on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As we partake of these elements, bread and wine, they themselves do not change. But as we receive them, and in so doing, by faith, receive Christ, we are changed. And therefore, they have a spiritual significance. And I trust that as you eat and drink, that you will welcome afresh the living Christ into your life. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now we join together for prayer. Some of you know Stephen and Angelina Cowan. They're both home at the moment and engaging in deputation. Let's take a moment just to pray that as they're at home and sharing and resting, that God would refresh them and renew them. After over 30 odd years working among the Samburu people in Kenya. So let's just now pray for Stephen and for Angelina. Then we've referred to the fact that we live in a very troubled world. Let's pray that those who are trying to broker peace between Israel and her neighbours, and between Ukraine and Russia, let's pray that God would enable them to bring these conflicts to an end. We're part of a church community here in Lisburn. Can I ask you now just to take a moment to pray for a minister, a pastor, an elder, a leader in one of the congregations here in Lisburn. And then finally, let's pray for your minister as he returns from sabbatical. Let's pray for Michael that he might return refreshed, energized. Let's pray for him as he continues to offer ministerial support to First Dromara congregation at this time of vacancy. So let's pray for Michael. Our Father, the command of the risen Christ was to go. Go and make disciples. Help us to go energized by your Spirit, refreshed by our sharing in this communion supper. We pray that we might take with us the fragrance and life and energy of the risen Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.